I want you to go, please, with me to one of our, it's become one of our bedrock scriptures in our studies on the concept of prayer, which we have been so blessed to be engaged in for quite a while now. And tonight I want us to pick it up and go up to the next place that the Lord has for us in our lessons on the all-important subject of prayer. And what we have been calling this series of messages is the seven most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. The seven most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. Praying for you. And so far, we've learned a few things. I'll take a few minutes and do a little bit of a review. It will not be long at all, so I can use all of my time well tonight. But in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15, this is one of the scriptures that has become a bedrock foundational scripture for us. And I would like us to start from there tonight. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, in the Lord, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is the confidence that we have in him, in the Lord, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." That is anything. It's not qualified. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. But he goes on to say in verse 15, "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him." Look at that again. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know, with an assurance we know, that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Let's take a closer look at this scripture tonight. It says first, "This is the confidence that we have in the Lord, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, from tonight, after the very brief review that we're going to do together, from tonight, I want us to get into the next most important PowerPoint in praying for yourself, which I have titled simply Ask. Ask. The word ask, A-S-K, ask. In this scripture, we see the word ask a couple of times. He said, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him." Before we run on ahead, first do our little review and then run ahead and begin to delve into this extremely important word and concept of asking. I want us to talk briefly about confidence. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him. For several weeks, a lot of what we've discussed has been in the area of developing confidence in God. Confidence in his word, confidence in his person, confidence in his faithfulness, confidence in his promises. We talked so extensively for quite a number of weeks about even how to energize our belief system, all with a view to helping us know how to develop this confidence in God. So, I'm going to assume you have been with us. Some of those messages we have deliberately repeated. Some of them we have gone over the same things in multiple sessions and things. And I'm trusting God that if you have been a great student of the Word of God and you have participated, your confidence at this point should be at an all-time high. We've dealt with the issues of faith. We've dealt with the issues of eliminating doubt. We've dealt with the issues of overcoming the tendency to be double-minded. We have dealt with so many things around this concept of having confidence in the Word of God. Now that we have confidence, our confidence is at an all-time high, well, now we have the requirement to be able to go on to the next thing, which is asking. Asking is articulating, to be able to articulate what our desires are. And I will give you a very simple definition of ask or asking in just a minute. But it simply means to articulate with confidence. So now that our confidence is at an all-time high, we are in a place where now we can learn, how do we articulate? There is asking right and there is asking wrong. We know that for sure from the book of James. In James chapter 4, you know this scripture. It talks about there's asking right and there's asking amiss. James chapter 4 from verse 1, from where come wars and fighting among you? Did not come because of your lust that war in your members. Verse 2, you lust and you have not. That means you desire. Lust simply means you have a strong desire for something, but you can't have it. You can't get it. Have you ever been in that place where you had a great desire for something, whether right or wrong? Lust here is used to represent desiring, having a strong, passionate desire for something. So you desire something, but you can't have it. You don't have it. And then it says, you kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You desire to have it, but you can't receive it. You can't obtain it. Then it says, you fight and war, yet you have not. And it tells us why. The first reason why we oftentimes do not receive, we don't obtain, it says, you receive not, you have not, because you ask not. Remember, what are we beginning to learn from this service tonight? Asking. Asking. He says, one of the requirements to obtaining, one of the requirements to having, you can't just have a strong desire. You can't just go around talking about how you believe and how you know God wants you to have the needs that are in your life. God is faithful. He has made promises. Yes, he is. Yes, he has. But you can't just go around talking about all that without putting the necessary value on the concept of asking. He said, you want, you desire, you fight, you even war, you do everything you can, yet you don't have. And it tells us the first reason is because you don't ask. So we can safely assume if we don't ask, we don't have. That's a very, very powerful saying right there. If we don't ask, we don't have. Even I am going to write that down in my notes. I'm going to put that right down in my notes. If we don't ask, we don't have. You will be amazed how many believers go around doing everything else, but not asking the Lord. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, I talked about it. No, we want to talk about what it means to ask. And I ask of you, I plead with you to join me with the Holy Spirit, our great teacher. Let's listen to him. As we go over some of these things, let's lay aside our preconceived notions, things that we've thought about, things we thought we understood, we know, we blah, blah, blah. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times, people say they're asking, but they're really not asking. People are not asking. Sometimes they are talking about the problem. Sometimes they are singing about the problem. Sometimes they are crying about the problem, but they're not asking. And sometimes they are asking, but they're not asking the source, the one who has the power, the ultimate power and ability to deliver to them. You say, who do we ask sometimes? Many times, instead of primarily asking the source, a lot of times we're asking secondary channels. So in our minds, we think we asked. So let's put aside our preconceived notions, whatever it is we think that we've learned, we've known from the Word of God about this, concerning this area. In the next couple of weeks or so, you are going to hear more and a whole lot more about the concept of asking that you ever have at any point in time in your life, because we're going to put the light on. We're going to put all of the focus on asking, the concept of asking, so that we can receive in the place of prayer. Amen. So look at what it says. It says you do all of this stuff, but you still don't have it. And it says the reason is because you ask not. That's the first reason it identifies. But then it identifies the second reason. In verse 3, he says you ask and receive not. And he says, why? Because you ask amiss. You ask amiss. So there is asking aright and there is asking amiss. This is so important. There is asking aright and there is asking amiss. And I would dare put it to you, saints, that most people who have not learned about this concept properly, this concept that we've been discussing in the area of prayer, I guarantee you, most of the time when they think they've asked, they actually have asked amiss. They have not asked aright. I mean, let's go back here to 1 John chapter 5, where we started from tonight. Let's take our time and go back there. And I want you to just, again, just look at this. Look at what Apostle John, the beloved, is saying. This is the confidence that we have. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask of him, we know that we have obtained, we have received the petitions that we desired of him. So, think about it for a minute. If we hadn't learned about the place of confidence, most of our asking is actually asking wrong. We may be using the right words, we may be saying the right things, but there's a place of confidence. Confidence is trust in God. confidence in God. And the Bible says in Nahum 1:7, he knows, the Lord knows them that trust in him. He knows them that trust in him. The confidence is not something we can put on. Sometimes people try to put on confidence by saying things that they have heard. They repeat verbatim things that they have heard people, reputable people in the body of Christ, maybe ministers, maybe people who obtain results in their lives and things like that. They try to repeat the things they hear them say, and in their minds, they think just repeating what somebody of repute says equates confidence. It means that we have faith, we have trust in God, because we are saying something that somebody who had confidence and faith in God said. But that is not so. Having confidence is a prerequisite to asking, to being able to articulate. And we have learned, we've talked a lot about confidence for quite a number of weeks. So think about this. Asking is so important, because once we get through, we have confidence, then the next thing is we've got to ask. We've got to ask. And we heard from James, we want to ask aright, not amiss. So that's what all of these lessons over the next few weeks are about. This part of our studies is asking aright. Is understanding the concept of asking, knowing how to position ourselves to ask right, being able to actually articulate, and being able to receive results. It's not technical. It's certainly not rocket science. It's not complicated at all. However, it is clear from what James said, there is asking aright and there's asking amiss. You can ask aright and you can ask amiss. Amen. And you see a lot of that as we go along tonight. So think about it. We've talked some of the things we've already discussed that we know this important, most important power points that affect praying for ourselves. We talked about the place of abiding in the Word of God, and the Word of God abiding in us. Talked extensively about that. The place of meditating in the Word, the place of filling ourselves with the Word, the place of agreeing with God, so that the words that are resident in us are the same words that God speaks, that God has spoken. We've talked about studying, and I hope all of that, even though it's behind us, we've studied some of these things, we've talked about it. I hope and I pray these are things that are obtaining in your life. As busy as our lives are, as tight as a lot of things can be a lot of times, we've just got to commit ourselves to that, that practice of being in the Word of God. Whether you are hearing it in the services, when we minister them on Sundays, Wednesdays, and other platforms, whether you are receiving it through your own personal study, that you must do though. That you must have. Studying the Word yourself, reading the Word, committing yourself. No matter what happens, committing yourself to having an ongoing relationship with the Word. You are going to get busy sometimes. It's going to get very difficult sometimes, but keeping that relationship going. That if sometimes because of your busy schedule, you are not able to do it at certain times that you wish you did it, you can always come back and compensate for that at other times that you schedule. Not like you hope I can get it done. Sometimes, somehow, I hope the time comes. But the time never comes for the Word. Have you noticed? Satan has a way of getting believers bogged down. Sometimes with the most unimportant things, and sometimes even with the important stuff. But important stuff isn't always important when we think about the Word. Where the Lord Jesus Christ said to Mary, to Martha, when Mary sat in his presence receiving the Word, Jesus said she has picked the right thing. And what she has chosen is her advantage. It will not be taken away from her. Now, the Word of God is our advantage, folks. And I can tell you this. I don't care if you, it doesn't matter what you do. You might be the busiest person in the world, like the president of the United States. I know he's supposed to be one of the busiest people in the world. If you're as busy as the president of the United States, good for you. But regardless of how busy you are, you still gotta have an ongoing relationship with the Word. I'm not talking about just periodically you throw one verse out. You hear, you read one verse, you hear. No. I'm talking about having an ongoing relationship with the Word of God. Not allowing the circumstances of life, the issues of life, to sidetrack the place that the Word of God should have in our life. So abiding in the Word. We've talked extensively about that. And my goal is not to go over the entire teaching, but just to remind you about that important concept right there, the PowerPoint. The second thing we learned a lot about was committing to God's will. And even in this scripture, we read it. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears. So it has to be asking according to His will. That's one of the things that makes asking right. We have to commit to the will of God. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. The Bible even tells us. So sometimes you don't know what to ask for. We don't know how we ought to pray, how we ought to say, but the Holy Spirit. Remember that scripture in Romans chapter 8? Let's go there and read it just briefly and move on here tonight. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at it in verse 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That was verse 26. And this is verse 27. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know we have settled this. Praying according to the will of God is absolutely essential. We've talked a lot about that. Committing to the will of God. Committing to the will of God. Faith always begins where the will of God is known. If we don't know the will of God, we can still pray, and we can still pray with faith. But it's most of the time it's going to be more prayers of dedication, prayers of submission, prayers of committal when we don't know. And certainly there are some times in life when we don't know. And you're going to see as we get into asking, we're going to read about a leper who came to Jesus in Mark chapter 1. And sometimes in life, there are sometimes we don't know if it is the will of God. And I understand that. If we don't know if it is the will of God, it is very difficult to confidently verbalize to the Lord and say, Lord, I ask that you do this. The only way we can really have the confidence to say that to the Lord, in addition to we have put our belief system is operating and functioning the way it should be. We are in the Word, we are abiding in Him and all of that stuff. The only way we can have the confidence to actually verbalize to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to do this, is that we know that's what He wants to do. It's His will. Faith always begins where the will of God is known. We have talked extensively about this, about learning to commit. Learning to commit. We've even had an example of a prayer of committal and dedication, where we've given examples of that. Lord, I commit to doing your will. It doesn't matter if that is what I desire or not. Your will is paramount in my life, and I dedicate myself to finding and doing it all the days of my life. That's a prayer of committal right there. And sometimes we just don't know what the will of God is. So we have to, you know, we pray that prayer of committal and dedication. Lord, I submit to your will and submission. But sometimes we can know what the will of God is. A lot of times we can know what the will of God is from the Word. Many times we can know what the will of God is from the spoken Word. The Word that is spoken to us. Either prophetically, directly out of scriptures, prophetically through a vessel that the Lord is speaking. And that you have to be sure it's the Lord that's speaking. Because the Lord isn't speaking through everyone that is claiming the Lord is speaking through them. There are a lot of people out there that are putting things out and saying stuff that the Lord never told them. It doesn't matter if they carry the title or the label prophet. And if the Lord didn't say it, he's not going to back it up. So it is very important to know the will of God and to commit to the will of God. We've talked a lot about that. And then the third thing we've learned, where we spend a lot of time, was developing and engaging, actively engaging our faith in God in the place of prayer. Developing our faith, actively engaging our faith in the place of prayer. We talked extensively about that and some of the things that are important where that is concerned. And you are going to see some of those things come back again, even as we begin to talk about asking in prayer. But faith, the Bible says without faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to, when we come before the Lord to ask, we've got to come with a knowledge. You see what John, we know, he kept saying, we know, that's a confidence. That confidence is born out of faith. We have to know, he says, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently. We've got to come in to the place of prayer with the attitude of faith. You must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. He hears you. John said, we know. This is the confidence that we have in him. We know that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, if we know that he hears us, then we also know that we receive of him the petitions that we desired of him. All of that confidence, all of that knowing is rooted in faith. Amen. So we've talked extensively about the place of faith. And as an offshoot of those series of lessons, we started talking about developing confidence and energizing our belief system. And we went through different things and how to overcome doubt, the steps to take when we feel overwhelmed by circumstances or negativity. And sometimes we're tempted to vacillate. We're tempted to doubt in our minds, in our hearts, in the place of prayer, and how we need to overcome. What logic, how logic rises up within us every time the word of God comes, how logic rises and is trying to gain the upper hand, but at the same time, faith in our hearts, if our hearts are prepared, faith in our hearts rise up to overwhelm the logic. Because logic is constantly challenging what the Lord said, is constantly challenging what faith is promising, but faith constantly declares and insists confidently that it is so. The Bible says the promises of God in him, they are yea, and in him, amen. We know that his promises are yea and amen. The Bible tells us that his promises, the Lord doesn't go back and forth and back and forth and change his mind sometimes, and He does this sometimes. He says something different. Oh, you know, he feels different today. So his promises are totally different from what they were yesterday. He can't really back up the promises that he made. Oh, no, that's not the Lord. Our God, his promises, the Bible says, for his promises in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silas, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him, they are yea and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. All his promises are yea and amen. So, having faith and confidence, and then being steadfast in our confidence, regardless of the circumstances of life, a lot of times, that are topsy-turvy, that are up and down, all over the place. No, we stay rooted like God. But the Bible says in James 1, and it says, I think that's verse 17, all good gifts and all perfect gifts come from the Father of lights, come from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. He's constant. God is always constant. And in that, James, it teaches us to be constant in our faith, to be steady, to be steadfast. So that, a lot of that, we have studied. And now, we have come to the concept of asking. Ask. Ask. So let's start out and look at a couple of scriptures here to start us off in our studies on asking. Ask. Whew. And I'm going to tell you up front here because I don't have time to be building up, done a lot of building up and building up and building up. And I'm going to be very honest with you. One of my all-time favorite scriptures that has something to do with asking and the place of asking and what God does with our asking is right here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It's just one of those scriptures that always, some way or the other, it always finds its way into whether my messages or my confessions. Or it's one of my all-time favorite scriptures when it comes to what the Lord does with what we ask for. And I don't know that there's a better place tonight to start from, that the actual scriptures, the word of God that's talking about asking. I don't know that there's a better place to start from than there. So go with me right here to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause it says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's bowing his knees in prayer and worship. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. He's asking. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. I love that. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. These are just some of the most powerful prayers that the Holy Spirit uttered through the lips of Apostle Paul, through his pen. These have got to be some of the most powerful prayers that have ever been prayed for God's people, ever. I pray that God will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. These are prayers we ought to pray for ourselves constantly, periodically, every time, every now and then. I find those prayers coming right out of me, even without premeditating it. Lord, that I might be strengthened with might by your spirit in my inner man. God, that strength from within my spirit being. A lot of times, even when your physical members, your physical body, your mental capacity feels weak, your physical body feels exhausted, and yet there's still demands on you, things that you have to get done. Well, the place where that power is generated, where that energy is generated, we call that energy sometimes, we call it grace. But where that is generated is within our inner man. Even when we feel physically exhausted, even when we feel mentally drained, and yet there are still demands on us, there are still things that need to be done, and commitments that need, obligations that need to be fulfilled, and things, I'm not talking about you just dabbling into things that don't concern you. I'm talking about things that absolutely depend on you, that must be done. And when you cannot find the resources in your outward members, your physical being. You can't find the resources in your mind. There's your inner man. It's out of your inner man that hallelujah. It's out of your inner man so that you might be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You know, this is a digression. I digress. Recently, you know, during the Olympics, recently concluded Olympics, the concept of mental health became such a huge thing. It always is, but it got a lot of attention. One of the reasons for that was because of one of the greatest gymnasts that the world has known, Simone Biles, who had to start pulling out of a number of her activities because just she was physically good. She was ready to go in her body, but mentally she just couldn't make it go. She just couldn't make it happen. And because of that, she actually had to start pulling out and pulling. And these things are real, you know, a lot. Your mind is the machinery that rules a lot of things. I don't care how physically fit you are. If in that mind, that's why we took a lot of time, a lot, in this series of teachings and in other messages that we have done, talking about how we need to get out of our mind and get into the mind of Christ, talking about how we need to renew our minds with the Word of God so that we're not limited, how we need to take off limits that the world and Satan tries to put on our minds. A lot of these messages are focused on helping us overcome the barriers that exist in the realm of the mind. Barriers that exist in the realm of the mind. I mean, this young woman as gifted, skillful, one of the best the world has ever known, but really couldn't do a lot of things, couldn't get her job done because just mentally she was paralyzed. Well, look at what Paul says here. Because for a believer can get there where you just feel mentally drained, mentally paralyzed, you just can't go. However, if the assignment that has been placed ahead of you, if the obligations, the commitments that have been placed on your shoulders are things that the Lord himself assigned to you, is a part of your purpose, that you are the one best fitted to get it done. Nobody else can stand in that place and get that done. I mean, there's just about nothing in this world that other people can do that we do. However, God works based on assignment. Because when he assigns you to do a particular thing, he also anoints you. He anoints you. As he puts a measure of the Holy Spirit's anointing and grace upon your life so that you can get it done. Now, anybody else can do it if they receive the same anointing or similar. So when I'm not talking about like things that only you can do. No, there's nothing like that. Anybody can do anything. However, they've got to be anointed and graced for it. So while you are there in the moment, when you are the one assigned to that task, when you are the one assigned to that assignment, there is grace that you've got to be able to tap into to get your task done. This is so crucial. And Paul is praying that God will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. I pray that same prayer for you tonight. Amen. I pray that for someone tonight, someone who is just feels drained, feels tired, exhausted. The other term that is used for that a lot is the word burnout. The phrase burnout. People say, I'm burnt out. Yeah, I get it. It's a reality. But if you are doing the things you should be doing, if you are taking proper rest, refreshing, exercise, eating well, diet, all of this stuff, everything in the natural, and more importantly, if you are in godly exercise, spiritual exercise, Bible says spiritual exercise, profitable unto all things, you are doing everything, you are in the Spirit of God, you're fellowshipping with Him, you're praying, you're worshiping, you're fellowshipping with other believers, getting in the Word, receiving the Word, strengthening yourself through the different avenues that God has given us. Burnout is not something you should be dealing with. Burnout will come when we're not doing all the stuff we should do in the natural, taking the necessary breaks sometimes, exercising, relaxing, giving our minds a breathing room, stuff like that. And if we're not doing stuff we should be doing in the spirit, doing our regular spiritual exercises, godly exercise, spending time with the Word, spending time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with God, and all of getting our renewal, refreshing and all. If we're doing all of that, burnout, there's no room for burnout. However, it doesn't mean we don't get exhausted. It doesn't mean sometimes fatigue doesn't try to set in. Because, yeah, you're doing all that, yes. But you know, it's sometimes it's just so much. And it's not every time. It shouldn't be in all seasons of our lives, but there are seasons when it's just so much. But Paul prays, and I pray for you tonight. He said, I pray that God will grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That is grace there. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the... See, that might, that spirit of might, that anointing of the Holy Spirit in your inner man is what is going to percolate through all the deficiencies of your physical body, your mental being, your psyche, all of these other members. That supernatural grace and anointing and energy of the Holy Spirit is going to percolate through every part of you and help you do. And sometimes you actually get those things done before you look back and say, how did I do that? I just can't explain how I got that done. Because I thought I had reached my breaking point. It was time out, time for time out. But look what the Lord's done through me. And then you will be able to say that the Lord did all that. He's strengthening you by His Spirit in the inner man. Paul prays that. Let's go on further here. Let's try to close here in this scripture. Oh, hallelujah. I pray that for you, that the Lord, the Lord will grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I pray that for you, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and that you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I can't even put into words. What, just even reading that thing again. I've read it already gazillion times. But just reading it again here in our Bible studies, just doing something to me. You may know the love of God that passes knowledge. Because that is the strength of our lives. The knowledge of God is that's the bedrock of our faith and our confidence. Knowing the love of God for you. Know how much God loves you. I can't digress too much there. Let's keep going. It says, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When you know the love of God that passes knowledge, you become filled with all the fullness of God. It's just this overwhelming. It's not a feeling. It's an overwhelming experience. It's a real encounter. It's an experience in Christ, in the Spirit of God. Where you just know you are filled with something beyond natural. You're filled with the fullness of God because of the love of God. That's such a revelation in your life. He's praying. He's praying all this. He's asking in specific terms, asking for the believers. Let's get to the end of it so we can close tonight. He says here, and then in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Remember, we're talking about ask, the concept of asking. That's what brought us here tonight. I'm telling you, folks, this is one of the all-time best scriptures that talk about what God does with our asking. He says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. What is this scripture? What is Paul saying in this scripture? Our asking and our thinking are the floor levels of what God seeks to accomplish in our lives. When we give him that basic level platform, then God tops it. God tops it. That is, our asking, our conceiving and our asking is actually the starting point for the supernatural manifestation of God's work in our lives. When we ask, that gives him a platform, but he does not answer us commensurate with what we ask. He doesn't give us just what we ask. What we ask is the beginning point for what God will do. And what God will do will always stop what we ask. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in getting into our lessons on asking, I want you, again, I said this earlier on, and we're going to pray and close right here. I want you to begin to set your heart. I want you to begin to set the parameters of your participation here. That, regardless of my preconceived notions, I want to approach this in a new way. I want to learn this from the Holy Spirit. One of the things we've learned a number of things tonight, but one of the most important, most powerful things we're learning from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Our asking is almost like the ground level of the great tower that God will build in our lives. Our asking. So it is very important that we ask right. That's the ground level of the tower that God wants to build. Our asking is never the highest thing that God wants to do or God will do. Our asking is never the top point of what he will accomplish. Our asking is the basal, his foundation, his basement. And then God will top it. He'll build his great tower. And before you know it, he's done exceeding abundantly, over and above anything we could ever have asked him for. He's done way beyond what we asked and what we thought. Because that's who he is. He loves to do his work, perform his miracles in our lives when we ask right. Hallelujah. I hope you received something tonight. This is a good place to stop. Let's stop here and pick it up from here next week. I thank you again for joining us tonight for this service. I pray that the power of God that has flown through the word, through the different networks and different channels that he's given us, that power of God will elevate you in your experience. It will take you to a place where you have never been. That God will fulfill his word in your life. You come into a new place, a new level, in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word tonight. I thank you, God, for speaking to us. Thank you for visiting with us. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Thank you, God, for everything that you've exposed us to, things that you've opened our eyes to see. Now, as we close, I pray for all of my brothers and sisters, all of their loved ones, the blessing of heaven upon them. God, as they go to bed tonight, bless them, visit with them in the name of Jesus. Do the uncommon, do the unprecedented in all of their lives. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.